Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right before we took a very brief break, I said, today's exciting because this is the last time we could have this very emotional debate. Do you know what I'm referring to, Tiki Barber?
I don't think I do.
You don't think I do, or you don't think you do?
No.
Today is the last time, and we have to do it, even if it's only for 5 minutes. Today we have to have the debate that rocked this radio station for hours at a time. You guys don't know! It just proves that baseball's stupid! Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge gets decided tonight.
Oh, at this point, I don't care. Giants have fired their head coach. The Jets have stunk, even though they're starting to look better. I'm worried about my football future more than Aaron Judge winning a next MVP. Even though if he doesn't win it, his legacy will be compromised unfairly.
See, this is what I find so fascinating. In September, it was the first week of September, so it was before football started. I brought up, hey, you know, I think Aaron Judge is the MVP. Very simple statement. Sean disagreed with it. He said, no, I think it's Cal Raleigh. And I figured, oh, fun, little 8-minute baseball segment. Tiki's bored out of his mind. We'll get to the Giants in a second. All of a sudden, Tiki Barber's eyes lit up, and I saw him go on a rant of all rants, describing with passion and with facts and with stats and with some incendiary comments how it better be Aaron Judge. You were so into the MVP debate. Mm-hmm. And after you got done calling Cal Raleigh, what was the term he used? A gimmick.
A gimmick, yes.
I looked at you and said, you know what's funny about all this, Teague? When they finally announce the award in 2 months, you won't care.
And you were so right.
And here we are. It's award day, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight,
this is the problem with the awards being so late. You simply don't care anymore.
I know.
The World Series has been over for a month, it feels like.
So if Cal Raleigh wins the MVP today, and I think everyone with a sane brain knows he shouldn't. Like, this is not a participatory trophy. Like, Aaron wins too much. It's not fair. He's so much bigger than everybody else. Let's give it to that kid who also had a great year but is clearly not as good as Aaron Judge. That's not how baseball works. That's not how sports should work.
It shouldn't, especially because he hit .247 in the regular season.
It would be one of the lowest batting averages ever from someone to win the Most Valuable Player award, let alone the fact that Aaron Judge's OPS was 100 points higher. Let alone that. Let alone that Aaron Judge hit .331.
Oh, wait, but he hit 60 home runs, and catchers don't hit 60 home runs. Sorry.
Sorry. I guess that's it. I guess we must disqualify it.
Right. No, he had a great season. Aaron Judge's was better.
Clearly better. Now, Sean was on the other side of this argument and then provoked the Yankee fans at postseason games by telling them that Cal Raleigh is clearly the MVP of the league, which I found super hilarious. Do you care, I guess, is number one, with the decision that will be announced tonight?
Not a morsel of an ounce in my body cares who wins the American League MVP tonight, so much so that there is a good chance, if you don't mention it tomorrow, I will have no idea who won the AL MVP when opening day hits next year.
Isn't this the problem with this dopey
story? No. You know how you will know? If Juan Soto wins it in the National League. He's not.
He's not.
But
fair.
If he does.
No, fair, right. They'll have the ticker tape out.
100%.
By the way, you guys are so wrong about that. I love Juan Soto. I'm so glad he's a New York Met. And statistically, he had a fine first season with the Mets. And I mentioned this briefly on the Rico. I'll say it here since you brought it up.
Not the MVP.
I'd be so pissed if he won the MVP. Because the Mets have never had a Most Valuable Player Award winner. It's never happened in their history. It can't happen like this. It can't happen with a guy who, no offense to Juan, wasn't the MVP of the Mets. He wasn't. Like, Pete Alonso had more clutch hits than Juan Soto. Even Edwin Diaz as a relief pitcher was more valuable than Juan Soto.
And
it's not a knock on Juan. Like, Juan ended up having a really good statistical year, and I have the utmost confidence that he will be more clutch in 26 and 27 and maybe take home an MVP or two. But if it ever got announced, then it won't. That he was the MVP, I would not be happy.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want it that way.
Right. It would feel like they gave it to him for some other ulterior reason.
Yeah.
And in order for him to win it over Shohei Ohtani, there's just no metric to it.
They would have to be ballots stolen or exactly. something like that. And also, probably the number one thing more than I didn't think he was the MVP of the own team, they missed the playoffs and choked in basically epic fashion for 3.5 months. Like, that can't also be the season in which a guy wins the MVP. So I wouldn't even want that. He's not going to win it. It's obviously going to be Shohei Ohtani. But the problem with Major League Baseball is that this literally was, sarcasm aside, a very passionate debate on WFAN for days at a time, for hours at a time. Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge. And I would joke every time we talked about it, it's a fun debate, but no one will care when they announce it.
Right.
And I even pointed out the Jets play the Patriots that night. And you laughed and said, well, you're certainly not going to care. And I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
And so we'll give you our opinion, but let this be a statement to Major League Baseball. Fix this. You have an award that people love to debate. Let it be awarded when people still care.
Right. It becomes a non-story.
Yeah. Who won the MVP last year? I don't know.
Judge.
He did win last year?
Ohtani and Judge won.
Yes. Yes. And neither one of them showed up for the awards ceremony.
Well, we also don't remember when it was announced. Right. It was announced sometime in November.
But there was an awards ceremony. I do remember this. Neither one could make it.
Yeah, they were busy.
And they were both busy, so they didn't go.
Dude, my man Judge is going to be locked in on Jets-Patriots tonight. He's a true New Yorker.
By the way, I told you this when we had this conversation before. Shohei Ohtani, save for Judge in 22, will have won. And he finished second to Judge in 22. An MVP award. This will be his third in a row? Fourth in a row.
I think it would be third in a row.
This will be his third in a row. He's won four and could have easily gotten five in a row.
Crazy. He's in historical territory, as will Aaron Judge when he wins tonight. Now, real quick, the MVP of the American League is?
Aaron Judge.
The MVP of the American League is, Sean?
I know it's Aaron Judge now.
Well, no, what? I'm not asking who's going to win. Who is the MVP in your opinion? Let me rephrase that.
I would still give it to Cal Raleigh, but I'm not. I really don't care to fight.
Right.
No, I'm not asking you to fight. I'm just asking you to vote. It's Cal Raleigh. Tommy?
Aaron Judge.
Thank you. Me too, Aaron Judge. Hmm. And that'll be the last you ever hear about this ever again.
Here's the important thing.
Yes.
The Cy Youngs were easy because of who won them.
Who won them?
Who won
Skeens
and Schoolboy?
When did that get announced last night?
Yesterday. But that's my point.
We landed on the moon also.
Who won the manager of the
year? Pat Murphy and John Schneider.
Pat Murphy won the year before.
Yeah, he won back-to-back years.
Again, most people didn't hear it.
They did that last night too?
Two nights ago. It's like they bury this stuff like it's insignificant.
What baseball should do, it's a very easy thing. Voting should be quick. It can be electronic. The Monday after the regular season ends. Because remember, this is a regular season award. The playoffs have nothing to do with it. Right. So Cal Raleigh getting the Mariners to the seventh game of the ALCS means nothing.
And that guy in left field wearing hit 62 or whatever it was.
Hit 63. Hit 64.
Whatever his number on his jersey said. Remember the kid that
Yeah, it said dump on me.
Yeah, dumps whatever. 60, dump, 6, whatever the number he home run he was about to hit on me. And he had multiple layers on it.
Yeah.
So when he hit one, he would just take it off and like, all right, hit 63, 2 on me.
Doesn't count.
Right.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't mean anything.
They should announce this on the Monday after the regular season ends. They should have an award show to wrap up the regular season. And then do it then, because right now, for anyone who cares about baseball right now, and plenty of people do, it's about the offseason.
Yeah,
it's about Tarek Skubal being traded.
Right. Because they're going to have an award ceremony, and Aaron Judge is going to be in the Bahamas.
Yeah, and I'm going to be locked in on Jets-Patriots.
I do have a question. I'm going to be very much in danger of saying, was this a fake tweet or not?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Because I didn't see the Cy Young or the Manager of the Year, but I saw a tweet last night that I thought was a joke, and maybe it's not now.
Oh boy.
Did they start handing out like a moment of the year for Ohtani?
What?
I didn't see that.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not true.
I saw this yesterday, that Ohtani got the moment of the year in Major League Baseball.
They may have. What was the moment of the year?
I don't know, but I looked at it and went, that's not a real award.
Oh, maybe they started it.
Did they create an award for Ohtani?
I mean, it's
that's what
possible.
I want to know. I
mean,
now I got to look it up.
They created rules for Ohtani.
Yeah.
So Sean is right. It's from MLB's official Twitter account.
Right. Okay. Who cares?
What is it?
Ohtani's three home run, 10 NLCS game four, the 10 strikeouts, the three home runs, was the 2025 legendary moment of the year.
Oh my God, they created something for Ohtani.
Well, I mean, they probably created it for baseball, and Ohtani happened to win it.
Tommy, do some quick research. Mm-hmm. Who won it last year?
I will look on it now.
All right, think about that. Who would win that last year? Pete Alonso's home run against Devin Williams. That would be my moment of the year.
I would guess it was a team that ultimately won.
So the Dodgers?
It's probably a Freddie Freeman moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was killing the Yankees. Yeah. The Grand Slam. The walk-off game one Grand Slam against Nestor Cortez and the New York Yankees.
Tommy's going to tell us it doesn't exist because this is the first year.
No, so it looked like last year you could kind of vote on it, and I have the final four. I don't have the winner, so I'll keep digging here.
All right.
You could vote on it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't care. So if I don't care, I don't know why you would care that much.
Because Sean brought it up.
What does he care about? You didn't even care about the MVP tonight.
I don't care because I didn't know those were handed out. And now that you guys said that, I went, oh, maybe that was not a fake tweet and a real award. And then it hit me, are we doing something else for Ohtani? That's why I cared.
Well, it's not for Ohtani. It's just for baseball. It's moment of the year.
Unless he won it last year, too.
Yeah, maybe. The moment of the year, by the way, is not any, no offense to Ohtani's performance, it was amazing, was Game 7. And you could take your pick from that Game 7.
Getting run over.
Maybe. Maybe the Pajes catches the moment. Maybe it's Miguel Rojas hitting the game-tying home run. I mean, maybe it's Alejandro Kirk rounding in with double play. Maybe it's Will Smith hitting the game-winning. I mean, you could take your freaking pick.
It's got to be Will Smith.
But Game 7 of the World Series was just so epic. And I think when you look back at 2025, like a decade from now, that's what people will remember. Yeah. Even Met and Yankee fans, we won't even remember our own season. Mm. Like, there's nothing about our seasons we're actually going to remember. But we'll remember, oh, yeah, that World Series was pretty epic.
Right.
All right, let's get back to your calls.
I think it was the catch.
Did Pajes catch?
Yeah, because Kiki thought the game was over, and he was just laying on the ground.
I saw an interview
he was doing talking about it. He was like, I was just laying there because I thought, you know, games, we just lost the World Series. And I could have made it. We lost the World Series. And Paez came over and was like, are you all right? Hey, get up, man. And he said, did you catch it? He's like, yeah. And he jumps up and he runs back in. He's laying there like he's dead. And then he jumps up and he runs back in.
Not my moment of the year. Good call, though. You know what I put over it?
What's that?
I just think Rojas hitting that home run. That is so ridiculous. They're two outs away from winning the World Series.
And it's Rojas.
And it's a slider right down the middle of the plate.
And
it's Rojas.
It's the ninth hitter.
With Ohtani on deck.
I know.
Which is, see, you actually do have us interested in this award. Because now Tiki and I are debating the moment of the year.
And last year was the walk-off from Freeman in game one of the World Series.
So there we go. We nailed that one.
That was easy. That was kind of
Pete was one of the finalists, though, the Alonzo
Homer. Oh, nice. But it's got to be Freeman.
You almost have to, Rojas. You almost had to just let him get a hit if you couldn't get him out. Because the last thing you want is him on bait. I mean, what do you do?
You throw a fastball by him. The biggest problem was in that at-bat is, why are you throwing a fat slider in the middle of the plate? Throw a fastball right by him. That's how you got to treat it. Instead, he got cute. He threw a slider. He was pitching to Rojas like he was dangerous. He's not dangerous.
I mean, he proved to be dangerous.
Well, because you gave him a slow slider in the middle of the plate. Pump a fastball right by him, Jeff Hoffman.
What his mindset was, knowing that Ohtani was right behind him.
I don't think he was thinking about Ohtani on deck. I think if he was thinking Ohtani was on deck, he would have tried to blow a fastball right by him,
right,
which is what he should have tried to do. Right. Let's go to David and Ronkonkoma. What's up, David?
Hey, David.
Hey, gentlemen. So I wanted to go back a little bit on what you guys were talking about with rearranging the divisions in football.
Go ahead.
So I say myself, I have a question at the end, though, but I want to make a few points. I mean, listen, rivalries come and go, all right? And people get over rivalries and so on. So I'm big on actually kind of rearranging the divisions. Now, you say that, I guess it's not a big deal because certain teams don't have to travel, you know, it's once a week, so they're not traveling as much as baseball. But, I mean, I say to myself, that rule, I guess, wouldn't someone like that, like a Dallas, you know, that like the Dallas owners or the Miami Dolphin owners or even Indianapolis, they're the ones that really got to travel out in a state. I'm not saying they're traveling halfway across the world, but they are doing more significant travel than the other teams. Wouldn't they be also, I guess, more for having those divisions realigned and so on? I'm just saying from that standpoint. At the same time, my other point and my question is this. Evan, you definitely should put Al Cintron. Give him a little more airtime. I appreciate that. He's a real good guy.
Al's got a whole day in which he's going to cash in on Sean Morash. I don't know if you guys forgot about this. But early in the season, when the Commanders opened up against the Giants, Sean and Al Cintron made a bet. And the bet was, the loser was, I forget exactly the specifics. All I remember is what Al won, which is he gets Sean's job for an entire day.
Hold mine!
So that, and we decided that the day that makes the most sense is the Friday before the Giants-Commanders rematch.
Right.
So we got a commander perspective, and Sean is not allowed to speak, but he has to be here.
Yeah.
So he has to do the part of his job he doesn't like, and Al gets to talk.
And that game might be an ugly one.
Yeah, it's probably. It's not
my Washington Commanders!
It's not as.
He was so excited when the season started.
I know.
Now they're a game above the Giants.
I know. It's not what we thought or what he thought when the season began. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, gentlemen. Just really quick before I make my coach's point. I don't know if you know, they do those like dopey gambling reads, like text free cash now to this number. and this one they did today was just all ripping the Jets the entire time. And it was just like really unbelievable. But that was not the point I wanted to make.
Right. they did that with the Giants a couple of weeks ago. It was so bad.
I didn't catch that one.
I wanted to turn it on. But keep going.
I was listening to Connor Hughes yesterday, and I always love when you guys have him on. He does such a great job. Another thing I really enjoy about your show is how you guys always do these long-term predictions and come back to them. And I was really interested in the fact that he named Kevin Stefanski as a possible coaching candidate for the Giants. And I'm just curious, there are really four names that I'm curious about, which is Tomlin, Stefanski, and Zach Taylor. And McDaniel, I think we can all assume he's gone. Have you guys made predictions on those three, like if they're going to stay or go? I'm curious what you think about those three, because I would love any of those three in the Giants locker room.
Oh, that's a good one.
So far, we have all made our long-term prediction on who we think the New York Giants are going
but
to
But what
hire.
He was asking was whether or not Mike Tomlin, Zach Taylor, or Stefanski were going to still have their jobs after the season is over.
But what do you think? Well, start with Tomlin, because you've said I brought Tomlin up for a while, and you seem very skeptical that the Steelers and Tomlin would ever break
up. I'm going to say yes, that they are still together.
If this season goes badly, and it may be on its way to going badly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, you think the Ravens are going to win this division. The Ravens still play the Steelers two more times.
It feels like the Ravens are in line to win the division.
It feels like it is very much on the table that not only will the Steelers not make the playoffs, but they could finish under 500 for the first time in Mike Tomlin's career.
Right.
If that happens.
Unless they win if they win two in a row and all of a sudden they're over 500, then I think it's they run right through.
That's if they win two in a row.
Right.
I'm talking about right now.
Right.
It is very much on the table. They're going to finish under 500.
But they are playing. They're hosting Cincinnati this weekend.
It's a divisional rival.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee they win that game. Then they go to Chicago. There's no guarantee they win that game. Mm-hmm. Then they play Buffalo and Baltimore. No guarantees they win that game. They go to Detroit. They end the season against the Ravens.
Right.
It is very much on the table that the Steelers finish under 500. And if they do, despite the fact that there's no track record of the Steelers firing head coaches, obviously, this would be a perfect moment for the breakup.
Yeah.
It's going to end at some point. It's not like Mike Tomlin's going to coach there till he's 90.
No, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, but think about what he's asking. He's asking about all the North coaches. So it's Pittsburgh, who's currently leading the division,
mm-hmm.
and Cincinnati, who have the excuse of all excuses, your all-world quarterback has been out since week three or two, whatever it is, with a turf toe, and then Cleveland. The one that I think has a chance of actually getting let go, fired, is Stefanski.
I think it's probably likelier than not that he will be let go.
Yes.
They're having a bad year.
Right.
And for those that watch the end of the Jet.
Feels like mismanagement.
Well, look at the end of the Jet Brown game.
Right.
I mean, my God, you want to talk about bad coaching. I mean, mm-hmm. that was brutal the way that game ended with the mistakes that they made. And they also feel like they're in transition now.
Right.
Is there a quarterback Dylan Gabriel? Probably not. Is there a quarterback, Shador Sanders? I mean, the handling of it feels incredibly bizarre.
Right.
So I think of those three guys, personally, I think Tomlin will be gone. I do think that. I've thought that for a while. Eventually it was going to happen. I thought it had a chance of happening last year. I think it definitely happens at the end of this year. I think Zach Taylor has the excuse, like you said.
Yeah.
And so he will remain, and I think Stefanski's available. And Connor did have that prediction yesterday of Stefanski being a guy, but he worries me.
Mm.
I must tell you, the way things have gone bad in Cleveland, the fact that he won't have a year to humble himself, he'd go right back into coaching. I don't know if I love that.
Has it been his fault? Because think about what Browns ownership did with the Deshaun Watson thing.
Brutal.
It was so brutal. It was what not to ever do if you are an NFL owner. Guarantee a very questionable contract for a quarterback who you think has good, you know, on-field potential, but I don't think there's any locker room juice he has. Because guys look at him in a weird light. Not that they hate him in any way, but it's just think how weird that is.
Oh, it's terrible.
And so you screw up your locker room after you went 11-6, and then next thing you know, you're 3-14 or whatever it was they were last year. Now you've won two games. I mean, is it his fault? Quarterback situation is terrible. You draft Dylan Gabriel, who's a small lefty, and have Shador Sanders, and you yo-yo him between the, you know, sitting on the bench and not even being dressed, essentially, to being the backup quarterback, and he hasn't taken a snap.
Isn't some of those decisions on the head coach, though?
It's all on the head coach. That's my point.
So wouldn't that concern you?
Absolutely it does. But I don't know if he's getting direction from somewhere else.
I think Kevin Stefanski is one of those guys that I think will be available, and if mm-hmm. he is, I think it's best for him to go back to being a coordinator,
right,
or maybe sit out a year or two. I don't know if I would be in a rush to hire him if I'm the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mike Tomlin is far different.
Right.
And the reason that there is this opening is because of the firing of Brian Daboll. When we come back, more information on what possibly led besides the loss. Before that.
Just real quick, Jet news. We no longer have to ask Rich Cimini a certain question. Garrett Wilson has been placed on injured reserve. It's a minimum of four games for Garrett Wilson to be out.
Well, Rich Cimini was right.
Yeah.
And even though the head coach didn't want to confirm it, we all kind of knew he was right. And I think his reaction told us he was right, which is why he said, ask Rich.
Yes.
Because he knew. Just ask him. Why are you asking me? We'll come back with your calls and more on what led to the demise of Brian Daboll. 888-808-1019. Brian Daboll was fired because the New York Giants didn't win enough games and they had a handful of collapses over the last few weeks. But you knew inevitably, after he was officially fired on Monday, that there would be leaks. There would be new reasons to add to why Brian Daboll was fired.
I always hate these, because what's the point?
Honestly, sometimes the point is from an organization to, like, confirm to their fans, this is why we did it.
Right.
Sometimes it's from players who just don't like the coach. Like, I think there's a lot of ulterior motives, but here is the leak, as reported by Jordan Ronan of ESPN, that one player, so it's a player on the team, don't know who, recently told ESPN of Brian Daboll exploding and threatening to take away play calling from assistant head coach and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka after tight end Theo Johnson dropped a crucial third down pass downfield against the Eagles. And number one, we had already heard that Brian Daboll gets really pissy and may lose his mind.
Right.
I remember there was a big story made about 2 years ago of how he would scream and yell, and it was crazy, and
right.
Joe Shane would be on the headset listening in. So what I find interesting about a report like this is not that Brian Daboll exploded on Mike Kafka. Like, okay, whatever. What I find interesting is what motivated a player on the current roster to say to a reporter, I got something for you. Let me tell you about the time that Daboll exploded on Kafka because of a Theo Johnson drop. Like, I know you never did it, and you weren't a part of an in-season coaching change, unless you want to count Jim Fossil, right, in which he wasn't replaced. But try to walk me through why a player would feel the need to say anything about this.
I don't know, and I don't know what that does for the player other than make you look like a little bitch. Because
yeah,
what the hell does that have to do with anything? How he coaches doesn't determine, or how he handles his emotions with another coach has nothing to do with you. Like, what? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, if it's a player talking about him talking a certain way to a player, I get it. But that doesn't make any sense to me, why a player would release that and make it feel like, what's the benefit?
I think my assumption would be that because we've heard so much about Brian Daboll losing his cool, it's obviously true that, yes, he probably screamed and yelled a lot at his coaches, demanded a lot. I mean, we all saw it early on with Daniel Jones, and we all loved it when he was all pissy at Daniel Jones early on. And this sounds like a player that was done with Brian Daboll and didn't like Brian Daboll and was probably like, oh, let me give you more information and more background.
So who was it? Somebody who's not playing.
Oh, is that what you think?
Of course.
Someone who's not playing. Evan Neal?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. He ain't saying anything.
Like, yeah. Schmel and Schmiet.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think that Brian Daboll's feisty personality was already well known. And I remember when that story came out a couple of years ago, because I was asking you guys, hey, does this worry you? Like, are you worried?
Mm-hmm.
And I think your opinion was very similar to what you're saying now, is like, hey, the players, just don't be whiny little bitches.
Right.
Like, basically, just get over it.
But do your job. Who cares?
And I remember what I said was, it doesn't concern me as long as you're winning. But what I think can happen sometimes is when you're not winning, the screaming and the yelling gets old really quick.
Of course.
And that's where he didn't get fired because he screams and yells. He didn't get fired because of his temperament. He got fired because they lose a lot.
Right.
But I think when you're losing a lot, that temperament will go over really badly.
Well, you could argue that the reason that they didn't communicate well enough is because he was always screaming and yelling. And again, I'm saying always, that's only because that's how it's presented, but I don't know if that was the case. He would scream and yell at the referees, for sure. We would see that on game day.
We all love that, though.
We would see him every now and then scream at a player or a coach because of a mistake that happened on game day, but it's not like he was screaming and yelling 60 minutes out of 60 minutes.
Right.
So he's...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I mean, whatever. He's gone. Why crap on a guy when he's gone?
And he's also gone.
It's like petty.
He's also gone for the most obvious reason. They didn't win.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's all that matters. That's truly all that matters.
Now, I think it benefits Mike Kafka that his personality seems to be very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes, it's like anything in life, you're looking for something different after you just experienced something.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you broke up with your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You're looking for something very different.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's what you're going to want to marry, but it's different. And I think in the case of that room, it's probably beneficial that Mike Kafka has a very different personality than Brian Daboll.
As long as he's good and he wins.
Well, ultimately, that's all that matters.
Then that's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that ever matters.
That's it. But 2 years ago, when this first started to come out, because it was after the first bad year, and it was linked to Wink, not to rhyme, but it was the whole Wink Martindale mm-hmm. situation. I remember looking at it thinking,
but he was that way in 22 when he was coach of the year.
Oh, exactly. It's all about the winning and the losing. And we always love to explain away losing.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. This was early on with us doing the show. It was right after the Mets had the bad year of 2023. We started in the summer. They had a bad year. And right as the season was ending, nonstop reports about the locker room.
Right.
Right? Nonstop. Started with Sal, continued with other reporters. So I'm not just picking on Sal and Sean who co-signed it. It was everybody. Like, the locker room is. Tommy Pham even said, guys aren't working hard enough. And it wasn't that any of those guys were wrong with their reporting.
Right.
It was that we're so desperate to find out why a team is bad that we look under things that may be irrelevant to why they're bad. And so it wasn't that the reporting wasn't true. It was that they were just bad. And I think in this case, it's kind of the same thing. They lost games. That's why Daboll's gone. So now we're like, well, what about the screaming? What about that time he gave Mike Kafka a really bad look? What about when he gave him a wedgie? You think that was it? And it's like, no, it's because they're losing. Why are they losing? I don't know. Maybe not going for it on 4th and inches isn't the greatest decision in the world.
Right.
Maybe your defense looking like it's winded in the final 5 minutes of every game isn't ideal. Like, there are more boring reasons for why you lose than what we try to find. And it reminds me a lot of what we did with the Mets at the end of 23, right. Where we're looking under all these different right. rocks when the answer is obvious.
You start making excuses when you don't need to. And the last thing any player, coach, whatever, that's in the spotlight like that is want an excuse. You don't want someone else making excuses for you. Now, you can do it yourself, but you can't abide by hearing other people tell you why you got fired.
But I will tell you this, and I kind of have a feeling this is going to happen. Not to spoiler alert our NFL picks at 5:30. It's going to make Daboll look bad when the New York Giants kick that Packer ass all day Sunday. And I kind of have a weird feeling they will.
Right.
And everything's going to look amazing. And the natural reaction is going to be, boy, they needed to get rid of Daboll. Mm. And that may not be fair, but I got to have a feeling that's going to happen.
I feel like that's what usually happens when a team fires a coach for 1 week.
Does it, though?
I don't know.
Did it happen with the Jets?
It didn't happen with the Titans.
Did it happen with the Jets? Thank you. Answer that question.
That I don't know. But I know that every time it has happened, it's reaching antenna.
You do know they lost.
Right.
The what? The Jets?
Yeah, did it happen to the Jets? Tiki asked you a direct question. You ignored it.
I didn't hear it.
Ask him again.
I said, did it happen with the Jets?
It didn't.
Okay.
Because sometimes, to quote another Tiki Barber quote, when you suck, you suck.
Sean, that is a fact.
Sean, you just did something that you're going to regret. You made a comment without any data to back it up. And you just said, I have a feeling that, hey, that first week teams win. So what I'm going to ask you to do politely, I know you have a very clear night tonight. I don't think you have anything to do besides watch the Jet game.
You know what I have to do.
I want you to do research on the last 25 in-season coaching firings and tell me how the teams do that first week after the firing and come back with the data. Because if your data's right, you should be rewarded for that.
All right, first
of all, ask ChatGPT.
All right.
No, because you can't trust ChatGPT.
I know, but yeah, I mean, this is rote information. I think you probably can. There's no opinion based on this.
Only because Evan wants to be a smartass. I will do as much research as possible in between, 50 podcasts and doing all this.
I'll do you a favor, though. I have the list of the coaches that have taken over the last 15 years. So I'll Google. I don't have to Google. It's in front of me. I will copy and paste the names. Mike Kafka doesn't count yet. Mike McCoy, Thomas Brown, Darren Rizzi, Jeff Ulbrich, Griff Smith, Chris Tabor, Antonio Pierce, Jeffrey Roseberg, Jeff Saturday, Steve Wilkes, Daryl Bevel, Rich Bisacci, Daryl Bevel again. Wow. Raheem Morris, Romeo Crennel, Perry Fuel, Bill Callahan, Joe Philbin, Greg Williams, Steve Spagnuolo, Anthony Lynn, Doug Marrone, John Fossil, Pat Shermer, Mike Mularkey, Dan Campbell. Yeah, he did that. Yeah. Tony Sperano, Wade Phillips, Aaron Cromer, Romeo Crotell, Todd Bowles, Mel Tucker, and then just give us the record tomorrow.
Okay, and now also, I want you
4:30, okay?
I want you also to apologize to me after this whole preamble.
Apologize for what?
Because I did something when Tiki spoke, and I got called on it. Tiki, I did not hear him. I was not listening when he made the Jet comment. You did not hear what I said.
What'd
and then
you
when
say?
This whole thing, I said, isn't that what people say happens when you fire a new head coach?
I know, you should still do the research.
But I didn't proclaim it as if it was data. Mm.
Do you want me to do the research?
In fact, my immediate answer was it didn't happen for the Titans.
Well, you should know what the Raiders happened with Antonio Pierce.
They won.
Yes.
And the Raiders went on a run with Bisacci.
You know who they beat?
The Jets.
The Giants.
Oh, the Giants.
Kind of Giant fan of you.
Well, I was at a Pierce beat the Jets game. That's why I was wondering.
Are you going to do all of it? Because if you don't want to, I'll do it.
Here's the thing.
This actually sounds like a lot of fun.
By the way, they beat the Jets the next week.
That's right. They did. You're right. Because honestly, if you do it, that'd be great. If you don't want to do it, there is a geek inside of me who's like, dude, I'll totally do this research.
Evan, this is where we just need to be honest friends over here, okay? Whether I do it or not, and you can say what you want at 4:40, you're still going to do it.
Definitely.
So therefore, I'm not going to do it.
What if I promise you I won't do the research? I'm going to trust you to do it. And then tomorrow at 4:30, you'll reveal since 2010 how interim head coaches have done in their first week of taking over. By the way, that is an important piece of information the audience is going to want. Because whether it's the betting community or it's just Giant fans or it's football fans in general, that's a must-have stat.
Well, Bisacci won, too.
Oh, look, Tiki's already doing the research for you.
Can I ask for more work for Sean to do here?
Yes.
No, because I think it was important that you went through that list. Because
thank you, Tommy.
I think it strengthens the argument not to hire Mike Kafka. Did you hear those names? Not a lot of successful head coaches on that list.
So if you go back to yesterday's show, we went through the six guys that kept their job after being an interim head coach since 2010. There have been 37 in-season coaching firings since 2010. Six of them have kept their job. Mm-hmm. And we actually went through it yesterday. If you download the Evan and Tiki podcast, I'll very quickly give you the names to play that same game. Antonio Pierce, Doug Marrone, Mike Mularkey, Romeo Crennel, Leslie Frazier, and Jason Garrett. And it's a very mixed result in terms of what they ended up doing. The results are mixed. Now, I'll tell you, none of them won a Super Bowl. None of them got to a Super Bowl.
Right.
Only one of them got to a championship game. That was Doug Marrone with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, yeah, more times than not, the interim coach doesn't keep the job. It's basically got a, what's 1 out of 6? What's that percentage?
Like 12.
17%. 176. Exactly. It's about 18%.
Right.
So it's about an 18% chance you keep the job, which is why yesterday we announced that the percentage that Mike Kafka has of keeping the job is 15%. And the way to add to that is every win adds 10% to it, but 15% if it's a big upset win. That was a formula created by Tiki Barber.
I got 141 and 2/3 chance of winning.
Yeah, that's right.
Doug Marone lost.
Oh, you're up to Doug Marone now?
Yes.
Sean, Tiki's doing
I
all
got,
of
I
it.
Got the record.
You already have the record?
Okay.
Since 2010?
Since 2010. This goes back to... So how many did you say there were?
37 in-season coaching firings since 2010.
Okay, this is saying, this is Yahoo Sports.
See, you got to do the research on your own. Never trust these websites, I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm sorry, since 2020.
Okay.
7-7.
7-7 since, by the way, that's not bad. Okay. Because think about it, most of the coaches that are getting fired, they're like 2-8, 2-10.
Okay, so by the way, we Jason don't need 2010 to 2020. Jason 2020
Garrett,
is more recent.
Jason Garrett won.
He won.
You know who he beat?
The Giants.
Wow, the Giants have a knack of this thing.
Maybe that's why I think it. The Raiders, the Giants.
I think that's what it is. They always beat your team. Let's go to Glenn in Wappingers Falls. What's up, Glenn? Hello, Glenn.
Hey, guys. Nope. Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, man?
Listen, I got a question I haven't heard many people bring up, and maybe Tiki can help out. I'm a Giantsologist, but I'm a big Jameis Winston fan. Can he win this starting job?
Win the starting job? No.
If he goes out, no, seriously, man. If he goes out and he balls out for these games, can he win? Can he win the starting job?
No. The answer is no.
I'm glad you asked the question. I'll handle it from here, sir. Let me ask you a question, T. Mm-hmm. Giants win on Sunday.
Yep. Okay.
So now they've won one in a row.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then they come out the following week. By the way, at this point, Jackson Dart is still not cleared from concussion protocol. And they go to Detroit and they beat the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, he might have to throw for 480 yards.
And he does it.
And he does.
And then they go to New England on a Monday night and they beat the Patriots. So let's walk you through this.
So Jameis Winston. They're now 5-7.
They are now 5-7. Winston is 3-0. They go into the bye week and voila, Jackson Dart's been cleared. Who starts against the Commanders?
Jameis Winston.
Thank you. All right, so, Mark, there you go. There's your answer. Jameis Winston can win the starting job.
Not really. Well, he win it for this season.
Okay. You want to keep going then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Then they win all their games. And the New York Giants, at that point, finished the season, I guess it would be 10-7, right? No, they have 8 losses. How many losses do they have now? Are they 2-8?
They're 2-8.
2-8. Okay. So they win. They run the table. They finish 9-8. Mm-hmm. Does that make the playoffs in the NFC?
I doubt it.
Let's say they do. And then they.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe
because there's a lot of bad teams. Well,
then they win a playoff game.
Okay? But I doubt it.
Now they've won a playoff.
The West is too strong.
But they've won a playoff game. They just made the playoffs. Miraculous. Okay. Winston's the starter the whole time. He's run the table. Then they finally lose in the wild card round. What do you do next year?
You mean the divisional?
In the divisional round.
Jackson Dart's your starter.
Okay. What if they win the Super Bowl?
Jackson Dart's your starter.
Okay. So then, just to answer Mark's question.
You trade Jameis Winston because he is cheap at $1.5 million a year, whatever the heck he's making.
Okay. So to answer our last caller's question, Jameis Winston cannot physically win the job for the future, but he could win the job for this season, according to Tiki Barber.
Okay. And before I blow a gasket, you're saying if he is cleared out of the bye week, Jackson Dart, we would still play Jameis Winston if he's won every game? Is that what we're saying?
That's what Tiki said, yes.
Yeah.
If that is the case and they make that decision, they should then fire Mike Kafka and Joe Shane before the end of the season and insert, I don't care if it's Shane Bowen, because the one thing we can't lose sight on above anything else is it is still Jackson Dart's rookie year, and these reps are crucial when he is healthy.
When he is healthy. There is an update on Jackson Dart.
Is there?
It's not really that interesting. Just says he's in the middle of it. There's a lot of trust you put in your medical staff. Each day he gets a little bit better. He's on track and on pace with the program.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Which is
unfortunately
basically nothing.
Okay. Well, and since 2020, by the way, I've sent you, I have to have every single outcome by coach.
Good. You only have to do 10 more years and you'll be up to date.
We have a more recent example, so we're good from 2010 to 2020.
By the way, Sean, I'm on your side, but let me play devil's advocate for Winston starting the rest of the year. Just hear me out.
We already seen Jackson Dart be in the concussion protocol four times, or at least he potentially had a concussion four times. They have zero weapons. You're throwing him out there basically to the Wolves. You know Jackson Dart can play. It's not like we're going to see anything else throughout the rest of the season where we know, oh, wow, he can play, he cannot play. Right. So to keep him on ice for next year when it really matters, there's at least an argument for it if Winston is playing well, if you want to protect the quarterback. Even though I'm on your side, I just wanted to give the other sort of side.
I hear that argument. I still think if this was another year, whatever, I think you want to get the rookie the reps.
I'm just trying to answer the caller's question because he asked specifically Tiki. Tiki gave his answer. Because at first you're like, no, he can't win the job. But three straight wins from Winston, you'd say, you know what? Give the guy the rest of the year. Or at least a week-to-week basis.
Right.
You are disagreeing with that, Sean. You were saying to our last caller's point, nothing can be done for Winston to take this job?
Personally, for me, because I view the importance of Dart, when healthy, playing as many rookie reps as possible to set us up going forward in a season that's already 2-8, 9-8, be damned.
So you
that's
will
me.
Go to Dart no matter what when he's healthy?
I don't think it's a hindrance to you winning if the team is in a good flow at that point, too. In fact, I think you would add more to the repertoire
and
of the Giants offense.
Tommy is saying that you would stick with Winston as a, you know what, let's just save Jackson. Why risk anything?
Okay, so you're pre-planning a Lou Gehrig debate series right now.
No, the caller asked a really good question so, that on the surface sounds dumb, but is actually interesting.
Right.
And I'm framing it for everybody to answer. I haven't even given my opinion. One's asked.
I would go to Dart if he's healthy. I was just presenting the other side of it to start Winston, but I would go to Dart if he's healthy.
All right, there you go. So hopefully our caller is happy with all those answers.
What is your answer, Evan?
Oh, thank you. No one asks me my opinion. I'm going to move on. You want to know my opinion?
He did ask you.
He just did. I was about to go to the next
call. Caller did.
No, he asked you.
No, he didn't.
He said Tiki.
No, he didn't.
He said Evan and Tiki?
He said guys.
Oh, he did say guys. Oh, okay. I would go back to Jackson Dart as soon as he's healthy.
Okay.
That's how I would view it.
So that's twice that you agreed with us but wanted to set us
up. I don't agree with Tiki. Tiki said...
Oh, that's right. I've lost...
And by the way, his opinion is the one that matters the most in this case.
No doubt. That's why, by the way.
No one's arguing that.
Nobody's arguing that. That's what gave me pause. And I said, no, we're not going to do that, are we?
Dino is in Cranford, New Jersey. What's up, Dino?
What's up, guys?
Yo.
So listen, we were talking about a few minutes ago. It's real simple. Look at the motive. If we have a giant player leaking some information like this, what's their motive to leak this? It's real simple. Look at somebody, I don't know, maybe like a Russell Wilson, who has desires to do something post-career, perhaps something in media, perhaps something, $10 million in New York. What can I segue this year into my next career for? Let me give you a little leak of something that's really insignificant, but maybe gets a little bit of chutzpah with you to give me something on the way back next year or the year after when I'm looking to extend my career, extend my livelihood into my next thing.
And
that's the real reason why somebody would do that.
And not only that, Dino, Russell Wilson was very magnanimous yesterday about losing his job, but he did throw in a dig of not going for it on fourth and inches.
Right.
He was not thrilled about that, which as a competitor you have to respect. So I could see Russ being a little perturbed.
Well, that's because he basically was saying, Dave's had no faith in me.
Yeah.
And so screw him.
And if you're going to screw him, you may as well leak out a little piece of information that makes him look bad on the way out. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Gabe's in Wayne, New Jersey. What's shaking, Gabe?
Thanks so much for taking the call.
No problem.
Look, you guys were talking about the MVP race a little while ago. Just so you know, MLB accidentally tweeted a congratulations to Aaron Judge for winning an American
Did
League MVP.
Did they really?
And then, quickly deleted it.
That's so funny.
So just want to let you know that, but I was actually calling because you were talking about Cashman yesterday.
Yes.
And his comments. You know, when he talked about Ben Rice, you guys were saying that it sounds like, you know, Ben Rice is the definite first baseman for the Yankees.
Yeah.
I heard it differently. It sounded like he's shopping Ben Rice. And I'll tell you why.
Really?
Last year, he was talking about Caleb Durbin as being the, quote, odds-on favorite to be the Yankees' everyday second baseman.
Ah.
I remember thinking, I was like, man, he's really hyping this guy up to the next level. And he hasn't even had a Major League Baseball at bat.
Yes.
And then they flipped him for Devin Williams like weeks after that.
That's a good catch, Gabe. It's a really good observation, but I still disagree with you. Now, I appreciate the observation, and he's right.
Because there's not a natural other first baseman.
Not only that, which is true, like he's the most natural guy to just be their first baseman, but he's also sort of proven it.
Yes.
Caleb Durbin was, we don't know.
He was an idea.
It was an idea. It played well in the minors, right. But we didn't know what he was going to do at the major league level. And by the way, he worked out really well in Milwaukee. He was a Rookie of the Year finalist. So it wasn't all hype from Brian Cashman. Durbin had a really good year and helped contribute to the Brewers, who finished with the best record in the National League. I just think in the case of Ben Rice, I'm just thinking about this logically. Why would you trade him? Mm-hmm. What is your plan? Like, the Yankees don't want to spend big money at every position.
Yeah.
He is the cheapest and actually solidest, if that's even a word.
Most solid.
Planet first base.
Yeah.
Without spending big money.
I agreed. So it doesn't make any sense. So it's interesting thought because of the Cashman history when over-talking somebody.
You're not going to believe this, but I actually did my research on this last night because it was my idea.
What was your research on what? What do you mean? Trading Ben Rice?
I didn't bring this up because it's so irrelevant. But when I went back and I was going through Cashman, I had my Yankee brain working, and I was scrolling. I said, man, Ben Rice sounds a lot like what they said about Durbin last year. I thought this. And then I realized and went through, and I wanted to see the Durbin quotes. He was asked yesterday specifically about Ben Rice. Last year, when mentioning Caleb Durbin, he kept propping him up into answers where nobody was asking him about Caleb Durbin. Asked about depth. The young guys, like there was like three different answers at like 3 months apart, all these right. different meetings. He was wedging the Caleb Durbin hype, bringing up his winter ball or whatever he was doing, the fall ball stuff. And the Yankees then kept tweeting out his fall ball stuff. Like it wasn't, he was never asked, what do you think of Caleb Durbin?
Right,
and then
right.
that started the whole train, the way he was asked about Ben Rice. That to me is why I got away from it and thought, significant difference.
That is a difference.
Very different. I think there's two other things about Ben Rice that are fascinating to me. Number one, he could be traded if Tarek Skubal becomes available and right. the Tigers are like,
we want a package and then we need Ben Rice and blah, 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 yeah. blah, 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 blah.
I think even with Cleveland, like if they were able to acquire Stephen Kwan, I don't think they would say no way if Ben Rice is in that deal. Would you be, you'd be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Ben Rice in a deal for Stephen Kwan?
Yes, definitely. Because yeah. I think it just adds the flexibility.
So I think there are deals that you can make. And here's the other thought. And I think you may have said this, Sean, but it's doubtful it will happen. But it's a possibility, and it's intriguing. Trading Austin Wells and having Ben Rice just be your catcher.
Yeah.
He is a catcher.
Right. And if he is completely dedicated to it and spends the entire offseason and spring training, et cetera, becoming that guy, that's what he is organically supposed to be.
Right.
And Austin Wells was third Rookie of the Year 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not a valuable
No,
prospect.
I think you'd actually do well for him.
Absolutely.
You'd get a lot back. And imagine Ben Rice's bat, and now think about it as a catcher. Like, it changes your view on him. But I think with all that said, he's the first baseman. I think ultimately that's what Brian Cashman's going to do. Sean's got his Cinco de Five list coming up, and we'll get you set for a big night. Can the New York Jets actually make their fans proud? Aaron Glenn said, a successful season is making Jet fans proud. Beating the Patriots would make us proud. More on what they need to do to win that game, plus our picks for tonight's game later as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.